Hello and welcome to episode 3 of High and Low, a Kurosawa cast. With me, your host as usual, Spencer, and unfortunately Joel was busy with work and other obligations, so instead of Joel this time, we have, we're going international this episode.
Super international, all the way to Canada.
Yep, we're going slightly over the border to Canada.
Yeah.
With, introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Heidi Samuels. I am marginally qualified to talk about this upcoming movie that we're going to be talking about, because I study animation and I'm hopefully going to be working in that industry, so...
Well, you know more about it than I do.
Oh, I hope so. But it might not be the case. I know specific things, maybe.
Well, all I know is when I was in high school, I got really into voice actors, and I tried to learn and try to watch and to see all the stuff like Billy West did voices in.
Yeah.
And pretty much Billy West, he's always my favorite.
Like, think of. Yeah, and I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and he's Stimpy and Ren Stimpy.
Cool. Yeah, like, he's super prolific.
Yeah, this is off topic, but, do you like John Kay, the Ren Stimpy guy, his art?
Sometimes it's pretty off-putting, but I think that's the point, so mm-hmm. I think it's, like, some of it I really like to look at, and some of it I'm like, oh, I can't look at this for too long, or I'm gonna feel physically nauseated, so, but he's actually, I think he was a grad from my school.
He is, one of yours.
Yeah,
He is a Canadian. I don't know from what part, but I know he's from there.
Yeah. You know, Ren and Stimpy is great, but, like, sometimes, like, I just can't watch it, because, like, it's so good at making you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I, okay, we need to get to the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so the movie this week is a little Japanese anime film, it's actually the first feature-length anime film called Mamotaro Umi no Shinpei from 1945. Since Joel usually does the plot synopsis, I'm going to do it this time as best I can.
Oh, should we translate what Mamotaro Umi no Shinpei is?
Yeah.
Was this the one that was Sea Eagles, or was this his Mamotaro's...
This is Divine Sea Warriors.
Divine Sea Warriors, mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
It's a Peach Boy and his Divine Sea Warriors, because Mamotaro means Peach Boy. Because a little backstory, Peach Boy was a popular, not series.
Like a folk character? Like, I know he's like a... It goes, I don't know, like, that's how I'd describe him, I guess.
But. Yeah, like, it goes back earlier than, like, animation, as from what I understand. Like, it's a boy that was born from a peach, and it's just this weird, not actually weird, but I'd say just a part of Japanese culture that turned to very successful animated shorts that were popular pretty much pre-World War II, because from what I've seen, it kind of died out post-World War II.
Yeah, like, I watch a relatively, not a huge amount of anime, but, like, enough, and I had never seen anything animated to do with Mamotaro, like, until... Maybe I'm just, like, not watching the right anime, I don't know, but I had never seen anything to do with Mamotaro until watching this movie.
Yeah, so, I'm looking up now, it's from the Edo period in the 1800s. That's where it originated.
Yeah,
so
it's super, yeah.
Well, Edo period? No. Cause I always think of it as the 1800s because of Samurai Champloo. But I recently learned that's incorrect. It actually goes back earlier than that. Anyways, so the movie is Peach Boy and His Divine Sea Warriors. It's just barely a feature film. It's about 70 minutes, so it counts as a movie. And I guess there is a plot. Technically speaking.
Yeah, I was very lost watching this. Like, I liked looking at it, but until the end, I had no idea what was going on. It's kind of just, like, a view into these animal warriors' lives that sort of meanders a little.
Yeah, I guess it starts out with, I can't remember if it's a cat or a dog. It could go either way. A monkey... What I thought was a lizard, but it turns out to be a pheasant. and
Is it a bear?
a bear, and
Yeah.
they're coming home from training, and you think, oh, it's about them hanging out the at their home village, and it's that for maybe 10 minutes, and the monkey's little brother Santa, he gets
Yeah.
captured. Not get captured. He steals his brother's navy hat and gets caught in a river, and the rescue mission, and then they go to a so they go to a South Pacific island, and they build stuff and they sing a bunch of songs.
Oh, they never, they're never
Yeah,
not singing.
this is
If they're
a
doing
yeah,
anything, there's a song to accompany it.
this is a true blue musical until the last 20 minutes.
It becomes a, well, we'll describe it when it becomes.
So they
Yeah.
sing a bunch of songs, and there's a bunch of different animals, and then there's one human, well, one good human, his name is Peach Boy, and he's this badass general who's also a little boy who has a katana.
And Luscious lips.
Weird, gross lips.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a flashback to evil white people, I think it was the Danes, who colonize the island, or I'm not sure, something like that,
Was it like a Dutch fleet that was
or Dutch.
coming? It was coming to, I forget exactly. They don't really say what nationality. But they're white, and they come to an island, and under the guise of being merchants, and basically say, "Oh, we're actually not merchants. We're here to take your island. Bye." Well, not bye. Actually, see a lot of you forever, because this we're staying here. So.
Yeah. And the flashback ends, and then the animals go to war, and it's a very weird shift from this kind of cute kidsy anime thing with cute animals, and then cut to they're invading a British island, and they're throwing grenades and using guns and stabbing people to
Yeah,
death.
there's a lot of like real it like it's a thing that gets done a lot today intentionally, like cute animals doing like horrific things, 'cause like people are like, "Oh man, that's going to be shocking or whatever. People are going to really react to it." But like this almost feels like unintentional the way that like it's done like genuinely, and
Yeah,
it's
it doesn't feel ironic.
yeah, it doesn't feel ironic or like it's trying to be edgy, but it's just cute animals and this little boy like committing like atrocities at war,
Yeah.
and
Not
it's very unsettling.
it's not war crimes, it's just
No, it's not quite war crimes, but like
they're just
it's just
Yeah,
earnest warfare.
it's just a very jarring jump. It's like in the Dirty Dozen, where the first 2/3 of it is like this fun boot camp movie, basically, and then in the third act, it's like shit gets real and everyone goes to war and most of them die. Or
Yeah. I'm
and
trying to think of another movie with like a tonal shift like that, but nothing's coming to mind offhand, but
I can think of a couple. Well, one more, the Great Escape, another World War II movie, where the first 2/3 are like it's kind of this fun little caper where, like, oh, they're getting. Or, have you seen The Great Escape?
I have not. I unfortunately have not seen a lot of movies, which is
It's a
when I
real,
think about it, but
it's a real
yeah.
dad movie. I like it a lot. But it's about these Allied POWs in a German camp who plan a great escape, and it's based off a real event. And in the movie, in spoiler alert, most of them get killed because it doesn't go as planned. And so the whole third act is this weird tonal shift of they go with the plan, and you see all the characters you were following get killed or captured by Nazis.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just think it's interesting where, like, World War II media with, yeah, World War II media, this is weird. At least with these examples, it's a very weird shift at the end.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. Like, I mean, obviously, like World War II, not like a thing that you like I'm just genuinely wondering why like they would do that. Maybe it's to make the conclusion more jarring, or just to, I don't know. I'm just thinking aloud now, so.
Well, this kind of goes into who is Momotaro and his sea warriors for, exactly?
Yeah, I was kind of confused. I mean, I was a little confused about the demographic for this.
Because my understanding of it, just based off of what it looks like, you would think it's for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Until the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this is not graphic, but very, it gets weirdly visceral with the violence. And it's not like fun violence like a Yu Yu Hakusho or something.
Yeah, it's not like a crazy over-the-top, like, anime violence like you'd get in, like, a Gurren Lagann or something where it's, like, supposed to be fun.
Yeah, this is, like war as hell, and they're gonna try to kill these evil white people.
Yeah, these very stuttery white people.
they're a quote-unquote British, but I don't think they're British.
They're... Yeah, they're something, but they all have really big noses and flap their arms like olive oil, constantly.
Do you think the animators were influenced by Popeye? Because Popeye was around already.
Yeah, I wonder, because it's very, like, rubber hose style, the way that the non-Japanese animals and people are animated. It's very, like, Fleischer Studios.
Oh, yeah. Dave Fleischer?
Yeah, like,
He's my favorite animator. Dave was the animator, Max was the director.
Right,
and the other brother did the business side of things. I forgot his name.
Yeah, oh man, this is, like, shame points to me, because I literally took a course in this last year, but I think one of the people involved in that studio invented rotoscoping?
Really?
Or the rotoscope machine, yeah.
Oh. Was it Dave? Because Dave was, like, the hands to the ground, like, animator one of them.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I unfortunately can't remember offhand, or if I'm just making this up whole cloth. But I'm pretty sure that studio did a lot of rotoscoping, especially, like, the Coco the Clown character.
I'm not sure if I've seen that one. I've seen some of their stuff.
Yeah.
But,
I wouldn't be surprised. Anyways, this is kind of a tangent, but...
Yeah, it's fine. There's not much of a movie here.
there really isn't. Like, it's very nice to look at in the beginning, but there's not a lot of plot, and then there's suddenly a lot going on, and it's not really nice to look at, because, like, it's just kind of jarring.
Yeah, this is kind of cutting to an end, but I think it is worth watching.
Oh, I definitely agree, especially just as, like, viewing it as, like, a piece of history, and, like, but also, like, animation history and, like, world history. It's just very, I would recommend it to people to watch it if they can, I know it's on YouTube, so, sorry if there's, like, a loud scream that picks up. I have a very angry parrot that lives with me, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you hear any loud screeching, that is, can't really force them to be quiet, so.
I kind of assumed that.
Yeah, anyways. Sorry, audience.
No. So, back to the Fleischer tangent. I'm not sure. He likes animating people slapping butts.
I know. Yeah, that is the thing. I guess I never really thought about it, but.
And, like, if I remember correctly, number 13 shows up in a lot of the shorts somewhere.
Oh, man. I'll have to keep an eye out for that. That's not even, like, a thing.
I think it was 13, or maybe 7. But the whole thing with butts just really stuck out. Like, why is he having so many people getting spanked in so many things? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You notice that, too?
Yeah, I guess, like, it's subconsciously, because I never, like, if you asked me about Fleischer things, I'd more, like, talk about, like, waving arms and stuff, but... Yeah, I guess he does have a butt thing.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's like a Tarantino foot fetish, but it shows up a lot.
Yeah, and that also just might be, like, like visual like slapstick humor, and it just happened to be a thing that maybe people reacted positively to. I don't know.
Maybe. Anyway, so okay, with Peach Boy, where were we?
We were talking about we were just summarizing the end of the movie.
And the animation in it. So, I don't know much about animation, but to me it looked like it looked very challenging to make just based off of things like the shadows are done in a very realistic way.
Yeah, the shadows are nice. And one thing that stuck out to me a lot as being really, really mm-hmm. nice, and like I'm always really impressed with it's like and in any animation, but especially in early animation when people were still figuring this stuff out. And I don't know what exactly the state of Japanese animation was at this point in history.
I watched a 4-minute video on the history of anime from the early stages to the 40s, and up until I think the 30s, they did the paper cutout style.
Okay.
And it wasn't until the early 30s that they started doing cell animation. So okay, cell animation was still relatively new to Japan.
Okay, so then this is like super impressive, but just like a lot of the secondary action.
Mm-hmm.
Like tails moving, yeah. Or the ribbons or the off wind. Their hats. Yeah, or the wind.
That
or
was
just like any
impressive, the seeing the wind go through people's clothes in this wave.
Yeah, that was really nice. Like, I always kind of have to think about the fact that I have people who teach me how mm-hmm. to do this stuff. Like, I'm not even figuring it out for myself because I'm not doing it for the first time. I'm not reinventing the wheel. And I have a tough time with this. So the fact that people who are figuring it out for themselves can do it to such a good effect is really impressive, and that's one of my favorite things about this movie, was just seeing how nicely everything moved.
Except for the Peach Boy's lips.
Yeah, oh man.
It's
they were weirdly defined. Or that monkey, when there's like a close-up on his face.
I hate that monkey's faces, they're weird, and it's unsettling. Yeah.
They're a little uncanny valley, like, it's not like because, like, it's like a weirdly human face, but on a cartoon monkey.
And the face looks a little too small on the monkey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it's. It reminds me of the show Flapjack, where it's.
Yeah, where, that show's like I love that show, but that show's super
too.
Gross sometimes.
But Flapjack, I love it. It was very adorably grotesque.
Yeah.
Where the monkey's faces and the Peach Boy's lips are just kind of more on the side of grotesque.
Yeah. Than adorable. Yeah, it was very Flapjack actually, or yeah. Flapjack was very this. I guess. Yeah.
But they kind of understood the balance of cute and gross looking much better.
Yeah, I think that was the Flapjack is much more intentional. I think this was just kind of, you know, we'll do a thing and
yeah, well at that but at this point in Japan's history, like the only way you could not the only way but for the most part if you wanted a movie made or some or an animation made, I don't know what the word for that is.
I don't know, produce an animation. If you wanted to make an animated film, I guess.
Yeah.
At this point in time.
Yeah, it had to be, said pornography. Had to be.
It had to be pornography, you know.
Propaganda.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of messes. I haven't read any Peach Boy stuff, so I don't know if it was. So I don't know what it's really like, but I doubt Peach Boy is actually. The other stuff is like this.
Yeah, I don't think they must have modernized him at like obviously because he's flying a plane and wearing a general's uniform and all this stuff that wouldn't really probably be a thing when he was created. But I wonder if they just took like a popular character and were like, okay, we're gonna use some propaganda now. Because people are going to identify with it and want to see a Peach Boy movie.
That sounds like the most logical thing. Of just, like, taking, like, have you seen the, the U.S. in World War II did a bunch of serials with, like, Batman fighting, like, Japanese people? It's kind of.
Yeah, I've seen the Popeye ones and some of the, Disney propaganda stuff. Not Disney, sorry, Warner Brothers propaganda stuff. Those studios tended to do more propaganda, I think, than, like, in terms of wartime, I think. Or at least I've seen more wartime propaganda from those studios than from Disney. But
so I think
it was like, oh, we're going to have a popular character fighting Nazis, so people will come see it.
Yeah. But, okay, so I remember where we were, but like 5 minutes ago. So, okay. my understanding of Peach Boy was, I read some reviews on some anime, like, fan sites, because, I'm not sure you've heard of the other episodes, but I like to point out old reviews of from the time, and this movie kind of got almost no release, and at the time, so there's no, like, old reviews you can really go to.
Right, yeah.
But a lot of anime fans now kind of, I've run to three different sites, and one said it was meant for kids, one said it was meant for adults, and one said it was kind of meant for everyone, so I'm still not sure.
Yeah.
The audience, exactly.
Yeah, you can kind of see, like, a little, like, I can understand, like, parts of it being for, like, a more adult audience and parts of it being for children, but then it's, like, this weird mix where it's not really appropriate for either.
Yeah. Like, you point out, like, flags and the wind. Is that technically hard to do?
I find it very challenging, and a lot of people, like, when you're just starting out, it's very tough. So, like, because you have to think about, you're basically taking a three-dimensional object and then translating it to a 2D image. So that's going to be tough. And then, like, you have to think about how it's going to move in space. So, like, more so than just, like, oh, I'm going to lift the character's arm or whatever. Like, it's, I find it more challenging, for sure. So, I definitely am, was super, super impressed by seeing that being done so well in this.
Yeah, yes, I agree. So the director of this, Mitsuyo Seo? Mitsuyo Seo? I think I'm saying it right.
He became a children's author, right?
Illustrator.
Illustrator,
Because
yeah.
after the, once the U.S. occupied Japan, you've mentioned before animation is very expensive.
Yeah, it's very, it doesn't really, like, unless you've got, like, a super hit, it doesn't really make a lot of money, because it's just so labor-intensive. Like, even 3D stuff nowadays is very labor-intensive and very expensive to do, just in a different way. But I can't imagine under U.S. occupation and, like, that political climate and also just, like, the financial and economic, whatever, same thing, kind of climate that Japan would have been able to really produce anything animated for a long time. And as far as I understand, like, there's this kind of big gap in Japanese animation where nothing was really made for a long time.
Yeah, and the YouTube series History of Anime, they said after Peach Boy, the next animation thing didn't come out until, like, 57, 58.
Okay.
So it was, like, a good 13 years before the economy was well enough to actually afford it.
Yeah.
Did manga have a big resurgence in the decline of anime post this movie coming out?
I don't know, actually, and I'd be interested to see if anyone knows offhand, or I can just look it up. Just I need to do more research, because I also really like comics. I would be interested to see what sort of manga was being made around this time, like, where there's that gap in. Because, like, if I'm getting my timeline correct, then I'm probably not. Like, Tezuka was starting out around this time, because he saw Peach Boy and he was inspired by it.
That's Astro Boy?
Yeah, he's the creator of Astro Boy and Kimba the White Lion and Blackjack and, like, a ton of different
things. Wait, how old is Kimba the White Lion? I thought that was like a 80s thing.
Yeah,
I think older than that.
I think there must have been like a, like, it's because he did create it, but maybe it wasn't adapted into a film until later. Yeah. But I think I saw that as a kid, and I didn't, as a kid, I didn't really watch a lot of older anime. I just kind of watched, like, whatever discs were at the video store, so.
Yeah, my history with anime is very basic. It was whatever Cartoon Network would show on Toonami.
Yeah, for me it was YTV, which is like the Canadian Cartoon Network, kind of, but they don't really produce their own shows. They mostly just, show, like, American shows or Canadian shows, which are really weird. At least from the 90s, they were really strange.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I can milk anything more out of Peach Boy.
Yeah, there's not really a heck of a lot to talk about. I will say there was some really nice scenery in this movie. Like, there's some nice establishing shots. Like there's the part where, like, the little pheasant lizard boy guy was feeding his younger siblings. Yeah. And, like, there was, like, some nice shots of the forest before that. Like, this was just a very nice thing to look at until the end when you're like, oh, okay.
They're murderers.
They're murderers. But, like, it was very nice to look at. Like, it can be a little bit creepy sometimes, but I do like that early anime and early manga aesthetic.
So do you like the old, like, Astro Boy stuff?
Yeah, I think it's really charming.
Okay. Some channel down here in Delaware played Astro Boy when I was in elementary school. I remember I watched some of it, and I remember having this distinct thought of being like 11 and be like, I'm a little too old for this.
Yeah, I guess it is very cutesy. Like,
I enjoyed it, but I was still like, I think I shouldn't. This isn't for me exactly.
Yeah, there's definitely sometimes where you're like, oh, I'm not the demographic for this anymore. Oops.
Like, I tried to watch Sailor Moon a bunch on Toonami when I was younger, too, and I was like, it's anime. I must like it because I liked other stuff, and it's like, not for me.
Yeah.
I was a Yu Yu Hakusho kid. Or Cyborg.
Yeah, I missed that. I definitely saw a lot of, like, Cardcaptor Sakura and Yu-Gi-Oh! And stuff.
But I watched so much Yu-Gi-Oh! On Fox for some weird reason.
Yeah, I watched a heck of a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! And there's no really good justification for why that was a thing.
The animation isn't even that good. Like, nothing about it was worth sitting through, but I watched so much of it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really compelling to however old I was at the time. It was compelling to me back then, so.
Yeah, that's one of my regrets in life, is all the hours I spent watching Yu-Gi-Oh! And just following the story.
Yeah.
I don't know about this. So are there other animated films, well, some that Joel and I also do, on the non-Kurosawa movie episodes of the pairing? If you listen, you get what I'm talking about. We always go through other movies from the same year that came out. About 1945, there isn't really much that came out that is, to me, notable or that I've seen. Besides, the only thing is Mildred Pierce, which is the movie that Joan Crawford won, I think, her only Oscar for. It's supposed to be a very good movie. But that's it. So instead of doing that, I want to go through other early animated films around the 40s. You can dip into the early 50s that, you know, we both like or think are interesting.
Yeah. It's probably pretty problematic by today's standards, but I really enjoyed Three Caballeros. It's a Disney feature with Donald Duck and his two cousins. So he has a Mexican cousin who is a rooster who has guns, and his Brazilian cousin who is a parrot that has a cigar and dances real good. So
is that why you got a parrot?
Pardon?
Is that why you got a parrot?
No, but the parrot is very charming, and I definitely like that character a lot.
That's one of those things that, as a kid, I saw it, but I saw it once, and I have vague memories of it, and I thought I rediscovered it recently, and I was like, I thought I dreamed that.
Yeah, me too. I saw it in my grandfather's basement, like, just like me and my brother, and like, I saw it once, and I thought it was just like a fever dream that I must have had, but because it also is pretty surreal. Like, Mary Blair did a lot of the concept art and background sort of designs for it, and
Is she did she work on I always get that there's what you see movie is
she did
it?
a lot of stuff. Like, her aesthetic really influenced the card march in Alice in Wonderland. Like, that kind of like blocky, really geometric, not entirely like making sense in perspective kind of style. Yeah, like she's a really influential. She designed the It's a Small World ride.
Oh, really? Like
Yeah.
the
The ride at the
I've
park,
never been
yeah.
on a ride, but is there like an animated portion or she did like the physical
It's
design?
like it's kind of like you're on a boat and you ride through all these little dioramas of different cultures.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's the song is infuriating, but it's really cute to look at, so yeah.
But did she work on the Disney movie with the dragon lady at the end of it?
Oh, Sleeping Beauty?
That one.
I think so. I'm pretty sure. Because a
Because
lot of the backgrounds look a lot like her style.
okay, this is a dumb confession, but I thought the character's name in Sleeping Beauty was Beauty. And I didn't know that until I went to Disney World last year.
Whatever. I don't know. Like, Aurora is kind of not an intuitive name for her to have, but.
Yeah, like I saw a movie once as a kid, and in pop culture, I never hear people talk about Princess Aurora. I always hear them say Sleeping Beauty. So,
Yeah, so no, that's totally understandable. like I sound like I'm being condescending. I'm not. That's actually very understandable. I think I was probably in the same boat until someone was like, oh yeah, this is definitely Aurora, not Beauty.
So you picked the three cab. My Spanish isn't
Three
good.
Caballeros.
Yes.
I think I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not a Spanish speaker, so I'm really sorry if
If only
I'm pretty
Joel
sure it's
were
Spanish.
here.
Yeah.
Too
And I
bad.
think Fantasia came out in 1940, and I really
Yeah.
like Fantasia, so.
That's one. That's another one I saw once as a kid, and later I thought was a fever dream.
That's also understandable. It's like, I mean, it's just visual set to music, so it's very.
I remember I liked it, but I just found it as a kid off-putting.
Yeah, there were parts of it, the dinosaur part, with the set to Stravinsky's Rite of Spring scared the shit out of me. Oh my god.
Let's see.
I always fast
Nope.
forwarded the VCR because I was like, no, I can't deal with this trauma.
Not
Goodbye.
today.
Yeah.
Pinocchio came out in 1942. 40. He came out in 1940 as well. And that's one that I always liked. I like the animation of it, but it just makes me sad when I think about it.
Yeah.
And that and Dumbo came out around the same time that
Oh, Dumbo's pretty sad.
I remember I liked watching as a kid, but I never but I always had trouble watching it because it always made me really sad. And
Yeah. I mean, I remember, like, this is terrible, but I remember really liking the character. I really like birds, so I really like the characters of the crows in Dumbo, and only recent, not super recently, but like relatively recently upon a rewatch as not a little kid did I realize that they're really racist. So
Oh, well,
like
that's good.
they're like, I mean,
Oh, I
they're
know.
supposed to be black people, so
Oh,
it's,
I'm
but
aware
like
that's
not in
part.
a, yeah, not like in a good way.
That's part of why I'm iffy on revisiting it.
Yeah,
Because
like I remember
one,
thinking they like they, I remember being like, oh, they're really friendly and stuff, but like if I go when I went back and watched it, I was like, oh, this is not a good portrayal of African Americans. This is makes me feel kind of icky.
it's well, Fantasia has that famously cut part of like a black mermaid girl or something that's really gross.
Yeah, there's a lot of really I guess racially insensitive would be the best way to put it, stuff from
Yeah.
that time.
Well, we should say we're both of mixed white and black.
Yeah.
So for both of us, this is a particularly challenging thing to deal with, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see, Bambi came out around that time too. That's one that I remember always wanting to watch it, but I'd always get bored about 10 minutes in and want to
Yeah,
watch like
same.
Alice in Wonderland, which is my favorite, personally, my favorite Disney movie.
Yeah, like Bambi's really nice to look at as well, but and like Tyra Wong did a lot of really he's a artist, he was an artist at Disney and he did a lot of really nice conceptual stuff for it, but yeah, that movie is boring. At least to me. I'm sorry if there's someone out there who's like super into Bambi. I just can't really sit through
Well, there
it.
are Disney nerds who will be angry over this episode.
Probably. I'm sorry. I'm getting probably getting all these facts wrong. So.
No, you're right. Bambi is kind of boring.
Okay.
See. Yeah, there's not much else in terms of animation from the 40s that, besides, like, there's only Disney stuff, really. And that's
Yeah,
kind of it.
I think
The
there was
Flash,
a
though.
Chinese feature called Princess Iron Fan, and I've seen little snippets from that,
Yeah,
but I haven't seen the full feature.
that's the first full-length Chinese animated feature. And if I remember correctly, it's not fully intact.
I wouldn't, yeah.
I could be wrong, but like I remember, I think I read parts of it are just completely lost, and there's no and no one knows what happened to the full movie. So you can buy it, but the chunks are missing.
Yeah, I don't know 100% for sure, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case, because I've seen little snippets of it, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe I've only seen snippets because that's all there is.
Let's see. Oh yeah, that reminds me, that Peach Boy, after 45 or so, it was thought to be lost. And this somehow the studio or whatever lost track of it, and people assumed it was gone forever, and it was rediscovered in the 1980s, and kind of got a bit of a revival. And I say bit because I'm sure the anime fans watched it and were like, oh, I guess this counts.
Yeah. Just begrudgingly accept Peach Boy.
It's like, yeah, it's the first one, but yeah, it's the first one.
Yeah. I think I can't remember what production or what distribution company is going to be re-releasing it, but I think I read the Wikipedia article said that this was going to have like a Blu-ray re-release or something like that.
Not everything deserves a Blu-ray re-release.
Yeah, I don't know if I need to see this on
It
Blu-ray.
you can watch it on YouTube for free. It's fine.
Yeah, I like this, but I think if I had to pay to see it, I would be kind of upset.
I would never pay to watch this.
Yeah.
Like I'm all for paying for entertainment, but this is just, it's not worth spending money on, but it is worth
No.
watching on YouTube because it's there.
Yeah, it's definitely, and I don't know when that re-release is going to happen, so maybe it'll be taken off YouTube, or maybe it's, I don't know, but if you have a chance to see it, if you've got a spare 70 minutes to just sort of have it on, I definitely would recommend it, but yeah, don't pay for this. Oh, man.
It's just, if this was just like a GIF with no sound, it'd be great.
Yeah.
In
Just
that,
like pretty like still images. Be like, oh, well, I guess it's nice to see it move. So yeah, GIF.
yeah. But like, there's only one good song in it, and there's a bunch of songs, and it's the alphabet song where they're teaching Japanese animals, because the Japanese are represented by pheasants, the pheasants, bear, monkey, and a cat, and they're
I think
teaching what?
there's also Are the all the animals Japanese and they're just children, so they're learning, or was it animals that were not from Japan? Well, I guess there were.
It was the native animals, like the kangaroo and the elephant. Yeah. Which I thought was, does this mean black people? I'm not sure what this is supposed to be saying exactly.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what if they were just picking animals because they looked cool, or if they were supposed to represent people. But there's like this 7-minute song that is
she's not joking. It's about 7 to 8 minutes, and and like after there's like 5 different points where like, oh, it's over, and you're like, oh, it's
not over. Okay,
they're still singing the alphabet.
Yeah,
and they repeat the alphabet like 5 times.
Yeah, they're teaching the Japanese, like, phonetics and stuff, so all the syllables.
But besides that song, it's just...
Yeah, just have it on, like, while you're doing something.
Or, like, or throw a party and, like, just throw it on and just see how people react to it or something. It's one of those, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those, like, maybe don't devote your full attention to this, but definitely take it in because it's interesting. But...
If you're meeting an old buddy for the first time in a while and you want something to talk over, that's also pretty look at. This is perfect for it.
Yeah.
So, you got stuff to plug?
I do. I'm not sure when this episode's going to be coming out.
Well, from this recording, it will be 2 weeks about.
Okay. Well, I might have an online shop by that point, but at the moment, I do have a Tumblr where I post my animations and art. Mm-hmm. It's HeidiSamuelsArt.tumblr.com. And if I do have a shop up by that point, because I still need to figure out how not to get in trouble mm-hmm. with taxes and stuff like that and be responsible and all that. So if I have an online shop by the point that this goes up, there should be a link on my Tumblr. So, check that out if you want. If you don't, that's also cool. But I appreciate every single follower or like or whatever Tumblr does. So...
Yeah. I'm not on Tumblr, but I'll look at it.
Yeah, cool.
Don't you have a Sonic fan art one too?
I did draw Sonic. I took it down because I was like, oh man, I don't really like this anymore. But
because of weird fans.
Yeah, there's some weird usernames. I don't want to throw too much shade, but the Sonic fandom is kind of
it's
interesting.
It's like the bronies. It's an interesting subculture.
Yeah, like, I like Sonic on, like, a surface level with, in that, like, I like when he runs mm-hmm. to the right and jumps on robots and saves cute animals and stuff, but,
But the robots are powered by cute animals, which is very confusing.
Yeah, that's kind of dark.
Is it, like, a Dalek thing? Because the Daleks are, like, these weird squiddy creatures?
No, I think, Dr. Robotnik or whatever, Dr. Robotnik, takes
the cute animals. Dr. Eggman, I know.
Dr. Eggman. uses the animals as a power source. Like, it's not like the animals are angry. Oh, but then, okay. Like, there's the Sonic comics where, like, he turns people and animals into robots and they lose their humanity and stuff.
Is that like a Island Dr. Moreau thing?
Kind of, but, like, instead of, like, people into animals, it's animals into robots.
Okay.
And they don't remember. Sonic comics are weird. I've read, like, an issue, so
you're not plugging that.
I mean, if you like Sonic the Hedgehog or Archie comics, check it out.
Oh.
They still sell them at the grocery store and stuff, so.
Alright, you got the other team one, Twitter, that's it.
I don't yet, but I should start that. I'm right. Very late adopter of all these things.
I write for a website called Cinema Knife Fight. It's horror movie reviews and movie reviews and TV stuff. And I review old TV shows like, I always forget this, Twilight Zone, Culture Tonight, Stalker, Play for Tomorrow, this really fun, weird British science fiction series from the 80s. So it's like science fiction, horror stuff. Christmas, I reviewed a TV movie from the 70s starring Jessica Walter and Sally Hill. it's a slasher movie before slasher movies were a thing. And in January, the review will be, this comes out in January. It's going to be Beasts. It's this British anthology show that's 6 episodes long, and it's just standalone things, episodes about beasts in some shape or form. And it's really fun. We're tracking down. It's a I'm kind of picky. I tend to pick review things I like. So, as always, I would recommend tracking down this show called Beasts. And our show has a... Well, our show. When I say our show, I mean Joel, not you. No disrespect.
Yeah, it's not my show. I'm just a guest.
Joel, R.I.P.D. He died in a... printer fixing accident.
Yeah.
He printed his butt too much, and R.I.P.D.
R.I.P.D.
And, well, he'll be back in 2 weeks, so I know a necromancer. It's all cool. But, it's going too long. Our podcast, High and Low, which is what you're listening to now, has a Twitter called High and Low Pod, at High and Low Pod. Follow us on Twitter. We tweet stuff sometimes. And we have an email, highandlowpod@gmail.com. And the next parent episode will be Yojimbo and Pigs and Battleships. We have a guest coming up on the next episode, John Ryan, who is going to have his own podcast in the vague future. And he wants to talk about Yojimbo, so he's going to be on and talk about Yojimbo. And Pigs and Battleships is a movie that's lesser known that is totally worth checking out. Look forward to our episode on that in about a month or so. And, yeah, that's it.
Bye!
Auf Wiedersehen. What?
Yep. Au revoir? I don't know.
Well, I'll do my usual sign off. Auf Wiedersehen, #ThugLife. And see you guys, or hear you guys, or whatever the phrase is, for Yojimbo with John Ryan.
The show's email is highandlowpod@gmail.com. The show's Twitter is @highandlowpod. The show is available on the Google Play Store, Podiant, PODIANT, Podbean, as bean, not beam, and iTunes, and wherever you find your podcast. Thank you for listening. Fucking sick, disgust me. It's like smelling vomit.